Amen.
I want to thank Brother Lee for leading those songs enthusiastically, and we certainly appreciate that. Of course, many of you, about a year ago, I complained to you about turning age 64, and I'm no longer complaining about turning age 64, because now I'm 65, and I stand before you as a Medicare recipient, and I'm on my way to that glory land, if you will. At least I hope so. Our lesson this morning is going to deal with a subject we're going to look at the book of Job today. And we're going to try to find out the lessons that we can get that Job received when he was going through his trials and tribulations. And you know, oftentimes most of us are going to have trials and tribulations, but we want to try to use Job as an example of how to handle those trials and tribulations, if you will. If you look at the first verse there in Job, and look at that particular verse, you'll see that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now, I want you to look at the character of Job. Here's a man who was upright, and they say he tried to shun evil. A person who shuns evil is every time evil comes his way, he tries to do what? Stay out of the way of that evil. And Job was that kind of person. And we're going to see that even though he was a good man, we're going to see that God is going to allow the devil to deal with him. Now, if you continue down and drop down to the sixth verse, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Now, I want you to know by this particular passage of Scripture, Satan is in this audience somewhere today. Now, you know, a lot of people think that Satan kind of floats around, but Satan can't get anything done unless he does it through us, our people. So we have to keep that in mind. Look at what the devil is saying. Now let's see what happens here. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him. He's blameless and he's upright and one who fears God and shuns evil." God was bragging on Job. He was bragging on Job and he knew Job's behavior. And it goes on there as you continue to read. He says, "Well, I want you to go ahead and do whatever you want to do to Job. Just don't touch him. Just don't touch him, because I know that my servant Job is going to stand up against those trials and tribulations." And we can glean a lesson from this. We have an opportunity to be just like Job, don't we? There's nothing different about Job than us. He had two legs, two arms, five fingers on each hand. And we have that same opportunity to be just like him. And as we continue to read there, in the 10th verse it says, "Have you not made a hedge around him?" What the devil is saying, look, Lord, you and gave him all of this stuff. He got all of these possessions. You and put a hedge around him and you're protecting him. Why doesn't he serve him? And let me tell you what the devil was trying to tell God. He says, he doesn't have any reason not to serve you. He got everything. He got two or three cars in the driveway. He owns two or three houses. He's got all of these possessions. Okay, why won't he serve you? But I tell you what, if you take all of this from him, he'll curse you and die. And that's what the devil is saying to us today. And we have to understand how the devil operates. We think that the devil walks around sometimes with two horns on his head and a little tail sticking out. And the devil doesn't operate that way. He operates through other people, as we're going to see. And look at the 11th verse. He says, "Now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you and your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is your power. Only do not lay your hands on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You know, have you heard people say when a little child dies or gets hit by a car, they'll say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away"? I don't believe I serve a God that runs over kids with cars. There's a basic law of physics that if you stand in front of an object that's moving, that something's going to happen to you. All the bad that happens in this world, we need to blame on the devil. God does not invent evil, nor does he bring evil upon us. As we can see from this passage of Scripture, the devil is the one that brings evil on us. And we have to recognize the devil and how he operates. And that's why I want to go through this passage of Scripture, so that we can recognize that the devil is alive and well. And you say, well, Brother Stewart, why did you say the devil was here in the building? Well, he's not in the juke joints. He got those people. He's not hanging on the corner. He wants us. Look at this passage of Scripture. Job wasn't bothering anybody. One of the things we're going to go through the lessons in just a moment, but let's finish going through this passage of Scripture. Now, as you continue in this chapter, you'll see that the Sabaeans raided them, took away everything. I'm in the 15th verse. And indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword. They took everything from him. And then after the devil had done all of that, that wasn't enough. In the second chapter, you'll see he goes back to God. And God gives him permission to do what? To take an attack on his person. And when the devil came this time, he had boils over you. I don't know if you've ever had boils. But boils are things that fill up with pus, and they're just really painful. They're more painful after you erupt them than they are before. But can you imagine having them all over your body? If you look at the Scripture, he took a piece of pottery and was scraping them to try to get some relief from the pain. Job was going through all of these things, And Satan was sifting him. And he struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Then his wife said to him, you know, when you get in a situation, you know, one of the things that I've known about my wife, the almost 42 years we've been married, is she stuck with me through thick and thin. And you need to investigate the definition of thick and thin. And when you get in a situation, you expect your wife to back you up. Oftentimes, our wives will back us up even when we're wrong, won't they? Is everybody shaking their head? Okay, all right. But look at the attitude that Job's wife had. Look what Job's wife said. Look what she said down here. She said, Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. He said, give this up. Something is going on with you. You need to give this up and just die. Why go through all of this misery? God has turned his back on you, and why don't you recognize that? But still in all, he did not turn away from God. How many times have we been in situations where we've allowed a mate to prevent us from coming to worship service? How many times have we allowed a mate to encourage us to do something wrong when we know the right thing to do? How many times do we come in those situations where we allow Satan to operate through our spouses and cause us to do things that we ought not to do? We have an example here that regardless of what your spouse says, we need to still serve the Lord. Regardless of what the circumstances you're going through or trials and tribulations, we need to still serve God. And that's what Job is saying here. He's going through. He's lost everything. He's lost all of his children. He's lost all of his wealth. He's lost everything. And now his wife has turned her back on him. As we continue there, look in the 11th verse, and I want to... It says, now Job's three friends heard of the adversity that came upon him. Each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and comfort him. Now, in these times that went on, people believed that if circumstances came on you or calamity came on you, it was because of sin in your life. And as you read the book of Job, which has about 42 chapters in it, you'll find that his three friends didn't do him any good. They turned on him. And as you go through and look at his friends, they said, Job, what kind of secret sin have you done that God's paying you back for? They were convinced that Job had some secret sin in his life, and that's the reason that God was allowing all of this to happen to him. And mind you, I said the word allow. We know from reading this that Satan was the culprit in this particular situation that caused all of this to come upon Job. One of the things that I wanted to lean from that before we go through and look at the lessons that we have, we find out something about Satan, don't we? In verses 6 through 12, God limits his power, doesn't he? God limited the things that the devil could do to him. Also, you see that the devil is what? Accountable to God in those verses that we read. And also in the 8th verse, we see that God knows the mind of the devil. Over in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, if you'll turn over there, it talks about God will always give us an escape, won't he? And we have to choose the proper way of escaping from things. I don't know, there was a show I used to look at when I was little, and they had the contestants come up, and you had door number one, door number two, door number three. And you could pick the wrong door, and you get a very poor prize. And I believe the Lord allows doors for us of opportunities to escape sin. And we have to make sure that we pick the right door. God is divine. Satan is not. God created Satan. He has control over him, and he has accountability. Satan will try to destroy everything he can before that last day. And if we look over in the book of Revelations, we find out that the devil and his angels are going to be what? Tossed into the lake of fire in that last day. And there's no doubt about that in my mind. You know, we have to understand that the devil, you know, the devil even got involved in some of Jesus' disciples. Turn, if you will, over to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to look here and see an opportunity where he sifted Peter. But he also told the devil that he could only do so much to Peter. Look there in the 31st verse, and it says, "And the Lord said, Simon Peter, indeed Satan has asked for you, and he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." The Lord had asked to sift Satan, but he had prayed to God that he might be able to go away from that particular situation. Again, showing that Satan is not in control of what's going on this earth. I want to look at some of the lessons that we can get from looking at the Job. Time is not going to permit for me to go through the whole book of Job, so I'm going to go through some examples. And I want to look at the first lesson that we can learn from studying Job, is that God knows what we're going through. That's the first lesson. He knows the trials and the tribulations that we're going through. So we don't have to feel alone. Have you ever felt alone when you're going through a trial or tribulation and you don't have anybody to lean on or anybody to talk to? God knows what we're going through, and we have to put our faith and trust in him. One of the most overwhelming things about when we have trials and tribulations is that we feel isolated. We feel like we're all alone. We want to make sure God knows, because he finds out, surely he'll do something about it. In Job 1, we are given the behind-the-scene events. God disciplines us. Over in, I believe it's Hebrews, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, that it talks about. I want to make sure of this so you can have this. And the passage of Scripture is talking about God disciplines those whom he loves. And discipline is one of the things that most of us do not want to go through. But he disciplines those he loves, is what the Hebrew writer is talking about. You know, when I was coming up, my father was a large disciplinarian. And I told you months ago that my father didn't have any problems. I told you I talked back to a teacher when I was in the 5th grade. And her name was Miss Savannah. I remember her to this day. And she smacked me in my face. And I didn't swear or anything. You know how kids want to get the last word? I got the last word, and I got her hand. Now, that wasn't the end of my discipline. They sent me to the principal's office, and in those days, if you might recall, they had these rat-tat-tans, and they put this electrical tape around it and wrap it around it. That gave it a little sting. Okay, when they got you, principal gave me 10 licks right on my behind. When I got home, my father whipped me. Now, how many times do you think from the 5th grade till I graduated from college that I talked back to a teacher? Discipline works. Well, I think that's abuse, child abuse. And, discipline works. The Bible tells us if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. And discipline is awful important, and God disciplines us too through these trials and tribulations. Why shouldn't he? Job was walking around, had everything going for him, and God tried him and tested him. So the first lesson that we can learn from Job is that God knows what we're going through. The second thing that we want to learn from studying Job is that God limits our trial. God is not going to let us suffer always. He's only going to let the devil sift us so far that we can learn from the first and second chapter of Job. The first chapter, he told him, don't mess with him. Second chapter, he says, well, go ahead and mess with him. But Job still did not give it up. Ultimately, we must understand when we go through trials and tribulations that God is in charge. The devil is not in charge, but he's in charge. The third lesson that I would like for us to learn from the study of Job is that perhaps one of the hardest lessons to keep in mind is Job wanted God to vindicate him in the eyes of his friends. If you read through there, when he was having his confrontations with his friends, he wanted God to come up and set his friends straight because his friends were convicting him of this secret sin. You know, oftentimes when we have trouble in our lives, we want people to vindicate us in front of our friends and make us look bigger than we are. And Job had the same attitude that he wanted. He wanted God to vindicate him in the eyes of his friend. People ridiculed him. If you look at the 30th chapter of Job, verses 1 and 9, people were making fun of him. They were making fun of him. And that can sometimes be hard to take when people are making fun of you. Now, keep in mind, he had these boils all over his body at the same time. But we can see there that Elihu began to answer Job on behalf of God in chapters 32 to 37. He pointed out to Job that he had been wrongly focused on and he was going through this for nothing. In Job 33, verses 12 through 22, Elihu explains that God instructs and chastens us in various ways and that Job ought to adhere to the punishment that God is giving him when he continuously said that he hadn't done anything. The fourth lesson that we want to glean from this study of Job is that sometimes we get in situations or we have diseases or sicknesses and we say to us, why me? You know, Job wanted to know the answer to that. Lord, why me? Why must I go through this? I've been faithful to you. I've been doing what you want me to do. The first of Job's friends to speak was Eliphaz. He declared, remember now what you perished being innocent. Or where were the upright ever cut off? And what he was trying to make it, he said, Job, if you hadn't done anything, God wouldn't allow us to go on. The reason God has cut you off, and this is his friend talking, is because you've done something wrong. And we all know that Job hadn't done anything. Job's three friends were all sure that Job must have had some dirty secret at the root of all of the troubles that he was suffering from. They knew there had to be some reason, so they badgered poor Job to confess this suspected secret sin. They wanted him to confess for something that he had not done. But Job, he held fast. The fifth lesson we have to keep in mind and learning from Job, and the lesson we can learn from him, is Job didn't give up. He trusted in the Lord. He held on all the way through, even though things kept coming at him. And I'm sure his wife convinced him more than once that he needed to curse God and give it up and die. But he held on. And the lesson that we can learn from this, brothers and sisters, is when we are under trials and tribulations, we have to hang on. We have to hang in there, and that the Lord will bring us our own salvation down the road if we trust in Him. If we trust in Him. Job's whole life had been turned upside down. He had lost his wealth, his loved ones in a series of calamities. Now his health was gone. Why? Job was deeply frustrated because he could not make sense out of what he was going through. Yet even though he was perplexed, he says, and look at the 13th chapter of Job in the 15th verse. He says, and I want you to go there and look at that and see if we can have that same kind of conviction. I'll give you a chance to get there. Job 13 and 15. And we need to say if we have the same kind of attitude he has. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Yet he slay me, I will trust in him. Even if I don't get out of the trials and tribulation. A couple of weeks ago we talked about I think our lesson was a faith tested or something along that line. And I mentioned that these three little boys that were thrown in the fiery furnace, that they said even if they burned up in this furnace, it wasn't going to shift their faith. Even if it didn't. And we have to have that same kind of faith. Even though we don't get through this sickness, this disease, or whatever trial or tribulation we're going through, we still have to trust in the Lord, even if it brings death about us. Do we have that same kind of conviction that Job has here in the 13th chapter and the 15th verse? And he says again, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. In Job 19, we read the words of anguish that poured out from Job's list again, if you want to turn over there. Now that God has overthrown and put me in the wrong and has closed his net about me, he has walled up my way so that I cannot pass. He has set darkness upon my path. My kinfolk have failed me, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. I am repulsive to my wife and loathsome to the children of thy mother. If you continue to read there, you'll see that he was loathsome to his wife because his breath had gotten so bad she didn't even want to be around him, if you continue to read there. One of the things Satan never understood about Job, and here's one point that I want us to really kind of dig in on. Satan thought Job was serving God because of the materialistic things that he had. Satan thought if you took those away from him, he would stop serving him. But what Satan didn't understand is that he had it in his heart to serve God, whether he had all of these material things or not. And that's what Satan didn't understand. And we, as Latter-day Saints, have to have the same attitude of mind as it relates to God. Whether I'm healthy or sick, I trust in the Lord. Whether I got a car that runs or not, I trust in the Lord. Whether or not my wife is, whatever the situation is, I trust in the Lord. And the whole lesson that Job is trying to teach us in this particular situation is that we have to trust in the Lord. Job loved God and served him out of sincere devotion. He trusted God even when he felt abandoned by God. The lesson of steadfast trust is one of the most important lessons that we can learn when we're involved in some type of trial and tribulation. The sixth thing that he learned, God will ultimately reward good and evil. You know, oftentimes we see people who are doing well and they're sinning and they're getting away with it, and we become uneasy about that. The thing that we learn in this particular passage of Scripture is that it doesn't matter. If you do evil, God is going to pay you back one day. We talked about that in our Firm Foundation class this morning, is that it doesn't matter. He may not get you today. He may not get you next week. He may not get you next month. But God is going to repay you for the evil that you do. And that's not conditional. He's going to do that. Make no mistake about it. God is just, and he does repay those who commit evil. And we need to keep that in mind. Job noticed that there were wicked men whose houses were safe from fear. Neither is the wrath of God upon them. Ultimately, it is in the resurrection that God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. However, there are many times when even in this life, there's a sudden shift of their circumstances. The conclusion of the book of Job reveals, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. If you look in Job 42 and 12, they gave him more children. He gave him twice as much as he had. And that's in Job 42 and 12. In the long run, there are blessings that we can receive for obedience that you can learn from that. God rewarded him for his obedience and him suffering those things to be. And there are curses for disobedience. Our trials and tribulations sometimes can make us bitter, but trials and tribulations oftentimes make us better Christians, if you think about it. If we go through life and nothing ever comes our way, does that strengthen us? We're normally strengthened when we have what? Trials and tribulations. We come out of them stronger. And when the next one comes along, we're stronger even then. And when the next one comes along, we're even stronger. So we want to keep that in mind when it comes their way. We cannot blame God for that. We have to blame the devil for that. And the lesson is soon to be yours. We must be on guard against Satan. My wife has seen circumstances and circumstances. We've seen congregations where they start growing and Satan slips in. As soon as Satan sees our congregation growing or things going in the right way, he's going to slip in here. It's not that he might slip in here, Brother Lee. He's going to slip in here. And he's going to mess it up. He don't want this congregation to grow. He needs some more angels. And he's looking for us to be one of his angels. So we have to be wary of that. When we start growing, Satan's going to be there. When we start helping people, Satan's going to come along and block it where we don't help people. That's how Satan operates. He doesn't want us to do good. He wants us to do evil and be at each other's throat
And he's sitting back laughing his head off. I got them at each other's throat. As long as they're at each other's throat, they can't grow. They can't evangelize. They can't do this. They can't take care of anybody. And the devil's happy. And we have to look at it like that when it happens. It's the devil. It's not Brother Lee. It's the devil working through Brother Lee. And we... You know I don't mean that, right? When we stop sinning so much, Satan is disappointed as well. Satan is after us. And I want to go through this study of the book of Job so you can see that what happens in this life is Satan, the devil. From the beginning, he did it. He's always in the picture trying to bring on each other. When we're winning souls, the devil is going to be disappointed. When we're trying to do God's will, Satan is guaranteed to stick his head up and try to divide us and cause division. We can overcome him with the help of God. We have to take the same attitude that many of the prophets of God took. Every time they did something, they tried to pray before they tried to do it. We need to be a praying people to keep the devil out of the way. I like to stop when I make my point. And I think at this particular point, I got more. But I think we've made our point now about the lessons that we can learn from Job. And what are those lessons, just to sum them up before I extend the invitation to you, is number one, the first lesson that I talked about, we need to be aware that God knows when we're going through trials and tribulation. The second lesson that we can get for that is God limits how much the devil can do to us. The third thing that we need to know is that we need to seek growth and not vindication when we're going through trials and tribulations. Fourth, sometimes we'll ask ourselves why this happens. Don't ask yourself why. Why not you? The fifth lesson, trust in God when we're suffering through something. And the sixth thing is God ultimately will reward those who are good and evil. Those are the six lessons that I hope that we can receive from this particular lesson on the study of Job. If you're in the audience today and you're not a child of God, we want to offer what is commonly referred to as the invitation. And of course, in Hebrews, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to hear the word of God. You have to believe those things which you have heard. Then you have to go through a thing where you have to have faith. And it talks about without faith, it is impossible for him to. And then also you have to confess. You have to repent of your sins, first of all. You know, repentance, and I've talked about this repentance sometimes, and repentance is something that goes on in your heart. When you come up here, you don't repent. Repentance is something that goes on in your heart, and you say, I'm not going to behave like that anymore. That's not me. I'm going to try to walk the chalk line and do that's what's right. Then when I come up to the front, I want to confess that, don't I? So we should be able to see those fruits. And of course, here in the plan of salvation in Matthew, the 10th chapter and the 32nd verse, he that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father who art in heaven. We must confess Jesus as the Christ. Then we must be baptized. In other words, we can't just believe. We can't just confess. We just can't have faith. We just can't repent. We just can't confess. We have to go down into the watery grave of baptism. If you turn over to Romans 6th chapter, you will see that that is the way you come in contact with the blood of Jesus. You have to go through all of those things in order to become a child of God. If you are subject to the invitation in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.